Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 8th day of August, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, can you see it coming? We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Prinhanda, which means good afternoon. Callers will be welcome during the broadcast. If you do call in, we do ask that you watch the language and try not to walk on top of anybody else that might be on the call. And we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody joining the call is muted until such time as you indicate to me you wish to speak, and then you will be in a queue. And we answer the queue in the order that we receive the requests. If you're on a computer, you have a button that says Ask Question. If you're on your phones, you hit star 6. Our website is www.pastordan.net. Again, that's pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And the Daily Mail page there is where we ask you to go to keep up to date with the things that are happening, since so much is happening so quickly these days. I don't always have a chance to send out mass email, and they are doing things to censor that at this time. So in case you're not receiving mass mail from me, you might want to go there. Also, many platforms are starting to detect people sending out truth, and when they do, they are blocking that mail. So even when my platform is okay, sometimes of people on the other end, the worst being, of course, Gmail. But now even other platforms are doing censorship at their end. Okay, I got my little greeting here to the different folks across the world, especially up in French Canada and over in France. A mes parents français, bienvenue à l'appel. Basically saying welcome to my French cousins, welcome to the call. And a mis parentes españoles, bienvenidos a la llamada, which is, of course, in Spanish, the same thing. And to my cousins in Germany, zu meinen deutschen Verwandten, willkommen beim Anruf. Again, we're fortunate that in this time, many of our relatives in Europe and around the world, they have learned English, which, by the way, is probably one of the most difficult languages to pick up, because English is an amalgamation of probably about 15 languages. Three of the primary ones we just used here in our greeting, which would be French, Spanish, and German, and you could throw Italian in there too. So you mix all them together. Now you throw in some Gaelic, which is where my ancestry comes from, Wales, and my cousins in Ireland and Scotland, they speak Gaelic. And by the way, Gaelic is the closest relative to ancient Hebrew that exists today. In fact, according to biblical archaeologist E. Raymond Capt, the Welsh language is almost pure ancient Hebrew. Now, of course, in modern times, they've added some vocabulary words that did not exist thousands of years ago, but the pronunciation and the syntax that they use in the Welsh language is identical to ancient Hebrew. And it was said not too long ago, when some Welshmen went to a Egyptology course, and the gentleman at the podium was reading the hieroglyphics coming from the Great Pyramid, the Welshman stood up in the auditorium and said, "I know exactly what you're saying." So even though the hieroglyphs don't look like the Welsh language, of course, when somebody spoke the ancient Egyptian language from the hieroglyphs, the Welshmen were able to tell what they were saying. And we've talked about that on this program many times. The Egyptian came from the root of all of the European people's languages. The root of it is ancient Hebrew. And please remember, ancient Hebrew and Yiddish, which is the language of Jews, they are not the same language. Yiddish, spoken by these imposter Jews, is predominantly ancient German with some mixture in there of actual Hebrew and Slavic and other languages. But the main thing is that Yiddish, the language of the Jew, is not Hebrew. Just like ancient Israelites, named after their father Jacob, and Jews are not the same people. Exactly the same as Caucasian, meaning white, because our people came through the Caucasus Mountains in their trek out of Asia Minor when they were conquered by the Assyrians, and they became known from that point on. Instead, they were no longer called Israelites, they were called Caucasians because they came through the Caucasus Mountains. Okay, so as the old saying says, that the devil is in the details. And so it is today with the confusion of who's who in the Bible and what the languages and the meanings of things are in it. Well, you can't determine what the Bible's trying to tell you if you don't know who's who. If you believe this modern BS story that the Bible was written for everybody, that's ludicrous. Because obviously, ancient Hebrew was only spoken by our people, and the ancient texts were written in ancient Hebrew. Okay, so obviously it was meant for Hebrew-speaking people, our people. And later on, when it was written in the Greek language, when the Septuagint came out of Alexandria, it was the Old Testament translated from the ancient Hebrew into the Greek language of the day. It's called Koine Greek. Koine means common, street, meaning the common Greek spoken on the streets of the ancient civilizations. So, again, who spoke ancient Greek? Well, the Aryans did, the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Israelites. So they didn't speak Greek in Africa. They didn't speak Greek, the Aborigines of Australia. They didn't speak Greek in China. They didn't speak Greek anywhere else. Okay, so this whole nonsense that it applies to everybody, no, it doesn't. We are the people of the promise. The covenants and promises were to Jacob and his descendants. That's you and me, folks. Wake the hell up. We're the people of the Bible. Now, that does not mean that other people don't have rights or whatever. It does not give us a opportunity to abuse or misuse or whatever. That's not what it's for. It's not a license to be aggressive or abusive to other people. No, it isn't. In fact, many years ago, Christianity was referred to as the white man's burden. The white man's burden. If you take a look, the only nations in the world to adopt Christianity, or what we call Christianity, as the formal religion of the nation, the only nations that did that were Caucasian nations, white nations. So, again, you can believe the propaganda if you want, but that's what it is, propaganda. And because I entitled it, Can You See It Coming? Because we're at the end of the age. I hope you understand that. The book of Revelation and the prophets, Ezekiel, Obadiah, etc., you're seeing it come to pass right now. Right now. This is not something coming down the road. Okay, this is not something two decades out away. We're here, and it's here in our faces right now. I just read an article that French Quebec, or Quebec, in up here in Canada, they speak French up there, Français, les Français, is requiring vaccine passports. Okay, so I don't know what got into their heads, but that's completely insane. But it's something to wake you people up. This whole pandemic thing is nothing more than medical martial law to allow the communists to set up their one world government. And it is communist, Zionist, Jewish, Talmudic communism. Now, for the people out there that like to just sink their teeth into biblical prophecy, I got news for you. While you're sitting around and arguing about what 4,000-year-old texts are telling you, your enemy is closing the gates in around you because you've got your heads up your rectums and you're not taking a look at what you can obviously see with your eyes and hear with your ears. Take a look around you. You don't need a Bible to know that you're under an assault. You don't need a Bible to know that the major media and the governments and the medical professions are lying to you. You don't need a Bible to know that. You don't need a Bible to know that the communists, the Jewish communists, are doing to us exactly what they did to the Russian people just over 100 years ago. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. Go read the books written by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who lived through that period of time. And by the way, Solzhenitsyn was a communist. He believed in Lenin. At one point in his young life, he even said that he would die for Lenin and the establishment of communism. So it's not like he was a white Russian nationalist from the beginning. He was actually a communist. But when he saw the mass murder, rape, and pillaging that was going on, it turned him the other way. And that's when he wrote his voluminous work about the Gulag Archipelago. But he also wrote another large set of volumes, 200 Years With Us, which is the history of Jews in Russia. Okay, between those two books, you can find everything you need out about how these Jews, otherwise known as communists, how they operate. And it's textbook, ladies and gentlemen. If you read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, where they lay out the blueprint for taking over the world, what you see happening right now, under the guise of a medical emergency, is exactly what's happening. This is not rocket science. Okay? It's pretty plain, pretty obvious. That's why I said, the title for today is, Can You See It Coming? It's coming at you like a freight train, ladies and gentlemen. And, you Trump supporters out there, I feel sorry for you. You think Trump's going to come in on a white horse and save the day. What's the scripture say about putting your faith in the arm of flesh? It says don't do it. Why? Because all arms of flesh are corruptible. You only have one advocate on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, and that's our Father above. Okay? If you read the history of this world, and particularly of our race of people, the Adamic race, Adam, by the way, is Greek, or not Greek, but Hebrew. Adam means to show blood in the face, to be of a rough or ruddy complexion, basically meaning to blush. All right? Now, in case you haven't figured it out, physiologically, there's only one race walking on the face of this earth that blushes, and that's the white Anglo-Saxon Caucasian people. They're the only ones. Don't tell me about mixed breeds that can blush, all right? Mixed breeds are not supposed to happen. And again, if that offends somebody, that's your problem, not mine. It's a fact. If you go to the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, made from Alexandria many, 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 many years ago, the scholars got together and they translated it. If you go to the Septuagint and you look up the commandments, the one that you think says, do not commit adultery, which is a complete lie, the way it's taught anyway, it has nothing to do with marital status. It has everything to do with race, because in the Greek, that commandment is, that commandment is simply ouk mukesus in the Greek. Ouk means do not do it. Like in German, it's nicht. In French, it's non. In Spanish, it's no. In English, it's no. It means don't do it. So ouk mukesus. And mukesus is mongrelization. Okay? In the Greek language, mongrelization or mukesus means mixing anything that doesn't belong together. So it's not just a racial thing. It's the fact that we should not have hybrid seeds. Okay, man was not given the right to try to outthink and outdo the Creator Father. Hybrid seeds are a sin against the Creator. Hybrid anything, hybrid fabrics, artificial fabrics like polyester, a sin, a sin, a sin, a sin. Mixing our animals and making mixed breeds of cattle and horses and cats and dogs. You might think it's cute. I'm going to tell you, the Creator doesn't think so. In every case where I personally know people with mixed breed dogs, cats, whatever, those poor animals suffer, just like human mixed breeds suffer. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. There's an excellent book written by Charles Weissman with the title Anthology of Racial Issues. This is an excellent small book, and it is footnoted with, I don't know, probably 100 footnotes of scientific studies in the past that were done that prove that the admixture of racial blood creates nothing but problems, psychological problems, physiological problems, social problems, exactly as the scriptures tell you. That's why it's referred to as a plague. Go read in your Bible about Phineas and what he did and received a blessing in perpetuity, meaning forever. A blessing forever from the Creator Father. What did Phineas do? Do you remember the story? Phineas saw one of the princes of ancient Israel take a foreigner into his tent so that he could have her, while the elders of Jacob Israel were lamenting the sins of the people. Does that sound familiar? Take a look around us today. While the people who were truly believers in the Father were praying and lamenting and repenting from all the sins that they were committing, this leader of Jacob Israel takes his little harlot from another race into his tent. And so Phineas picked up a spear and he walked into the tent and he drove that spear down through the two of them while they were in the act of having sex. And people say, well, Dan, that sounds violent or cruel. Well, it's in your Bible. I can't help it that you don't read it. So Phineas basically executed the two of them for committing this gross offense. And did God punish Phineas? No. It says he was blessed and held high amongst the Israelites. And here's the other thing. The other Israelite men, when they saw what Phineas did, went out and thousands of other race-mixing men were put to death that same day. Thousands of them. What does the Bible say happened next? The plague was lifted. The plague. What's the plague? A mixed multitude of mongrels is a violent society. where do we see all kinds of violence? Oh, that's right, the United States and virtually every white nation. Why? Because you have millions of a mixed multitude invading your lands, and so your violence is on the rise. Charles Weissman points it out in his book. Mixed races, especially those mixed with the black blood, become extremely unstable and prone to violence. That's right out of the book. And he wrote that a long time ago. That's not a recent book. He wrote that, I think, back in the 1980s or 90s. So it's been around. The point of it is, when you take your blinders off, when you take the propagandist bullshit away from you and open your eyes to reality, it's pretty obvious what's going on. Now, why do we have the invasion of our lands by these mixed multitudes? Because the Jew knows that it creates chaos. It knows that we have strength when we are homogeneous and that we are weak when we are diversified or mixed. As your Bible will tell you, a divided house cannot stand. Are you listening? A divided house cannot stand. As I was talking to one of my relatives last night, and they said, and I pointed out to the fact that our founding fathers said that the only people who could cast a ballot in an election, who could sit in the jury box or hold public office in the United Colonies called the United States, the only people who could hold those positions were white men who were free, white men who were believers in the Bible, white men who were known to have had good character by the community around them, white men who had property. Why property? Because that shows that you have a tie. You have skin in the game. If you don't own property, then why the hell are you making decisions for that area, whether it's a city, a county, or a state? If you don't own anything in that state, why the hell should you be helping to make decisions on how things are done? It just doesn't make sense. And so I brought up the analogy that only white people, white men, were supposed to be in government. And some people say, well, that's ridiculous. And I brought up, I said, well, how about we all go over to China and run for office? How many of us would be elected in China? They'd laugh you out of the country. Or how about if we took a boatload of us over to Korea and said, we're going to run your government? They'd laugh you out of there. Or a boatload of us went over to the Knesset in Israel and said, we're going to tell you Jews how to run your little litter box over here in Palestine. You'd get laughed out of the country. Or how about a boatload of us go to Sierra Leone or any of the other Middle African black nations and get off the boat and say, we're going to run it? You see what I'm saying? Now, some people say, well, hey, Dan, you white people did that in South Africa. No, we didn't. When the Boers, which is Afrikaans for farmer, that's what that means, Boers. The Boers means farmers. The Boers, when they got to South Africa, it was virtually uninhabited. It was a wasteland. Even though it's teeming with natural resources, the blacks of Africa did not settle in South Africa. So people that say white men went in there and stole that, no, they did not. They built it from the ground up. Blacks did not come into South Africa until after the white Boer farmers developed it into a absolutely gorgeous land. And by the way, South Africa is the source of a lot of our strategic metals. And you might say, well, who gives a shit, Dan? Well, strategic metals are extremely important for weaponry and also devices. Things like platinum and plutonium and different things like that. That's why they're called strategic. These are metals that are used in a lot of your weaponry and a lot of your defense developments. And a lot of that comes out of South Africa. Now, do you understand why the Jew press made such a big deal out of a thing called apartheid. It wasn't apartheid. The blacks weren't there. The whites didn't come in there and take it away from them. It was the white nation. But the Jews convinced you that it was okay that they turned the country over to a communist piece of shit called Nelson Mandela and his bitch wife. And you people cheered it on, even though Nelson Mandela was a murderer and a communist. You cheered it on because the Jew media told you to. I remember. I was a boy in school at the time. Every day the newspaper had articles in there about how terrible it was that whites governed South Africa. Oh, it's so terrible. Of course, they didn't say anything about the fact that whites built it. So, of course, they ran it. I knew people that lived in South Africa. One of them was a large plantation owner. And he told me through emails way back then about what it was like and the fact that until Nelson Mandela, with all of his Jewish money in his pockets and the Jewish media helping him, there was no strife between the blacks of South Africa at all. His name was Egon, and Egon told me that the blacks that worked for him were very appreciative of having a job and having a decent house and clean food and clean water and hospitals at that time. So the strife didn't happen until what? The communist Jew came in and stirred up trouble. They got the communist Nelson Mandela to go along with it as their puppet. Do you see a similarity, ladies and gentlemen? Do you see the other white nations of the world and how the Jew media is turning your heads and getting you to believe a lie once again? My good friend Jan Lamprecht, who lives in South Africa, in Johannesburg, he wrote a book back in the 90s called Government by Deception, and it details everything I just told you. Government by Deception. You can still buy it. By Jan, J-A-N, Jan, because J in German is pronounced yit, like a Y. Jot, the letter Jot in German. Which is very strange, because what was the J or the Y sound letter in ancient Hebrew? Yod. Y-O-D, Yod. And in German, it's Jot, but it looks like a J in English, but it's actually Jot. And William says here, Jud is in Dutch. So again, it goes back to ancient Hebrew, doesn't it? So when you see the letter J in your Bibles for people's names, those are supposed to be pronounced with a Y, just like Jesus is actually Jesus. The German J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Exactly the way it is in the Greek Bibles. Okay? There was never anybody called Jesus. Okay? It's, again, a problem in the fact that you're reading your English Bibles, which were generated from German Bibles, and they kept the J-E-S-U-S from the German Bible instead of putting it in English so that you would pronounce it the same as the Greeks. But the Germans did. So when people say there was never anybody called Jesus, they're right. His name was Yeshua, which in English is Joshua. All right? And the Greeks used the word Jesus. Jesus Christos in the Greek became Jesus Christ in English, but that's not what he was called. The devil is in the details. There's a new website. I got to meet the guy that put it up. It's called thebigvirushoax.com. And again, thebigvirushoax.com out of Miami, Florida. And the gentleman that runs that site, his name is Mike, and I got to meet him and his family. He's a very powerful person. He's very awake, even about the Zionist problem. And he is very proactive and wants to do something to turn this thing around. And he's right. We're late in the game, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to tell you that, but we're late in the game. You better pick your sides and pick your people that you're going to surround yourself with very carefully as we go into the next year or so. Because we're at the end of the age. All of the predictions about the end of the age, you're going to see them happen very, very soon. So I contacted Mike and asked him, since he wanted to know, what can we do to be proactive to try to make a change down here in South Florida? And it dawned on me that Miami-Dade County in South Florida does not have a sheriff. And we talked about the fact that the word sheriff comes from Old English, shire reef. Because in Old England, under English common law, which comes from the Bible, the reef was their name for the local magistrate. Okay, he was called a reef. And the shire was their name for a village. So the reef of the shire became the shire reef. And in English today, it's pronounced sheriff. So the history of the sheriff is that he is the magistrate to help keep law and order, but mostly to protect the innocent from vandals and thieves and rapists. So the sheriff today is elected in the county as the highest authority in the county because he is elected from the people. He belongs to the people, not to the political apparatus. His loyalty is to the people. Get it through your heads. The sheriff is the first line of defense at the county level against tyranny, as long as the sheriff knows his duty, such as Sheriff Grady Judd in Polk County, Florida. Very constitutional. There are also two other sheriffs in Florida. Very strong constitutional sheriffs who know their duty to the people. And so I contacted Mike and said, we don't have one because the criminals in Miami-Dade County years ago got rid of the sheriff and they put in a appointed chief law enforcement. That is not a sheriff. He owes his loyalty to the political apparatus and therefore he will not protect the people. So I asked Mike if he wants to run for sheriff. Let's make a big deal about it. Let's get a hold of Sheriff Richard Mack, who is the head of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association out of Arizona. And he is recruiting sheriffs all across America as we speak and teaching them about their rightful duties and obligations to we the people. And so when I contacted Mike and said, would you run for sheriff and let's get rid of this appointed hack and make you sheriff, he said he's all in for it. So I'll keep you abreast of what's going on there. I got a call this morning by one of our listeners talking about the issue of gold and silver coin and gold and silver bullion. Is it a good thing to have? Well, think of it this way. Gold and silver has been money as long as man has walked the earth. Especially Adamic man, meaning the white man. We've been here about 7,000 years. Now, other races have been here for a lot longer. But the Adamic man was put upon the earth. The story of Adam and Eve is the putting of white men and women upon the earth. That's what that's all about. White men upholding God's law upon this world. This world was dark and void. That's what those descriptions in the book of Genesis are talking about. The world was dark, meaning without understanding, without God's law, chaos, violence. And it was the white man's burden to bring God's law and to implement it on the earth with mercy. With mercy. So that mankind, meaning all races, could live at peace and have true justice on the earth. We don't have that today because the Adamic man has been bought and paid for. The ones in charge are whores and prostitutes. The same goes for most of these people behind pulpits today in these so-called churches. They are nothing more than prostitutes. almost every one of them are just a prostitute. They'll tell you whatever the status quo, the latest degenerate that's in charge, whatever they say, such as locking your churches up. No preacher should have ever done that. They had no authority to do it, and we owe our allegiance to our Creator, not to a group of men. Okay? Government is just a body of men, and today, in our kakistocracies, they are the worst of men. They're not good men and women. They're not. They're evil. We are under no obligation under God's law. We're under no obligation to obey godless government. And if people tell you go to Romans 13, I agree. Go to Romans 13. But don't just read Romans 13. Read the chapter before it and the chapter after it. And you will soon figure out that Romans chapter 13 is talking about a requirement of us as followers of the Christ to obey manly government if it's godly government. That's pretty obvious. But then again, the powers that be know that most of you don't ever pick that Bible up and actually read it. And most of the people going to the church don't read it either. They just listen to that preacher, just like these people with a dirty face diaper watch their televisions and listen to a piece of shit like Anthony Fauci. It's the same exact thing. They're too damn lazy to look into anything themselves, so they listen to that quack and think he's telling the truth when he's just that. He's a quack. He's a criminal. And the same thing with that moron behind the pulpit. Male or female, doesn't matter. They're all whores. And just because they're behind the pulpit, you think you're going to hear the true word of God. Are you kidding me? It's time for people to wake the hell up, folks. It's getting real serious. So anyway, gold and silver has always been legitimate money upon the earth. It's in the Bible. If you can't afford gold because it's rather expensive, you could buy silver. And you can buy silver in two different forms. You can get bullion, which is 99.999% pure silver, and it's stamped as just like a gold bar, like a 1 ounce ingot or a 5 ounce ingot or a 10 ounce ingot. Or you can buy it minted, as in our coinage in the United States up until the 1960s. We actually had silver coins. Today, they're known as junk silver because they started taking silver out of them and replacing them with tin and things like that because they're criminals. The Constitution says gold and silver is to be the currency of these colonies, these individual countries called states. We are individual countries, by the way. We're sovereign entities, states with their governors and their legislatures and their counties and their militia. We are individual nations. Just because we call ourselves states doesn't take away from the fact that we actually are individual nations. And we got together and signed a contract that we would join in league with each other and become the United States as long as the contract is upheld. Well, you're called federal government has broken that contract completely. So you're without a central government right now. You just have a bunch of shysters and criminals running around issuing executive orders and all kinds of other nonsense. And if you follow it and believe it, you're crazy. I'm here to tell you, you're an idiot. Idiot. Stupid. Stupide in front. En français, stupide. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I've got a good friend of mine locally. He's looking into Bitcoin and the blockchain, electronic money, which is open source, and blockchain means it's not centralized. Now, this is one of the smartest guys I've ever met, and if he's looking into it, I said, keep me abreast so that I can inform you. I personally don't like the idea of electronic money. However, if it truly is an open source and locally run thing. I have a couple friends of mine that are what they call miners. They have big, banks of servers that are part of this, if you want to call it, underground money system, electronic money system. If it's truly run by we the people and it's open source blockchain technology, it might actually work, as long as it cannot be controlled from a central location, because that's communism. Centralization of anything is communism, whether it's the church, medicine, education, or government and religion. Doesn't matter. If it's centralized, it's communism, period. So as we find out more and more about this cryptocurrency thing, we're going to bring it to your attention. Now, I like the idea that you should have a little piece of something in everything, all right? Just like my friend, he's learning about it, but he's not spending a lot of money. He's only buying like $10 worth of these electronic coins to see how it works and to see if it's legitimate that it's blockchain and decentralized. So again, gold and silver, I've said it for many, many years. It's no different than guns and ammunition, food, medicine, and everything else. A true patriot, just like the Amish where I grew up, should have a stockpile of food, weapons, ammunition, and essentials. They should be on hand at all times. Where I grew up, every farmhouse had a well-stocked pantry. And the pantry is where you keep what? Your preserves, your canned food. Because my mom, along with the other women of the family, they canned food every year. We had a very large garden. And my mother canned a lot of the vegetables from the garden. Occasionally, we even preserved meat, either by smoking it or salting it. Or you can even can meat. Okay, so that during the winter months, if the snows came and you couldn't get out of the farmhouse, you still could eat. Okay, so again, the idea is to be prepared. That's the old Boy Scout said, you should be prepared for anything that comes down the pike. Well, we've been telling you that for years. 22 years on this program, we've been telling you to get ready. While it was easy, while it was cheap, now it's getting difficult. There's a lot of things that are starting to show up as being in short supply, and you may have to wait weeks. My brother ordered a refrigerator. It took like 7 months for that refrigerator to come in. 7 months, folks, for a refrigerator in this day and age, and that was quite a while ago. It's going to get worse. The other thing that's been coming up on my radar quite a bit here lately is the issue of relationships. And I'm saying this is happening a lot, okay? I would say in the last 6 weeks. 6 weeks, I have been getting call after call after call after call after call. Sometimes it's friends, relatives, listeners to the show. It doesn't matter, but we're having a lot of relationship problems amongst our people today. Lots of them. And we said a long time ago that the scripture says to be equally yoked. Okay, now why do you think the scripture says that? Because when times are good, you can get away with having a less than satisfactory relationship. But when things get tight and things start going awry, you'd better have somebody in your camp that you can rely on. You better have a strong relationship. And what is the strongest relationship you could possibly have? One that's built upon the laws of the Almighty. And the relationship is set up exactly the way the Father intended us to have relationships set up. That's where you get your strength, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we talk about the patriarchal family here all the time. That's also why I talk about monarchies, whether you want to call him a leader, a monarch, a king, a general, a commander, it doesn't matter. The idea is that you have a singular person in charge. Why? For the same reason that in the family, it's a singular person in charge, which should be a righteous man. That's what works. A righteous man, a man who walks and talks as the father, his representative. And not by lip service. There's a lot of men who think they're righteous and they're not. They are not. You know the difference, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure you do. It's one thing to talk the talk. It's a completely different thing to walk the walk. All right? Words alone don't get it. It's the actions. It's the attitude. It's the fruit. A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. So if a man is going to claim himself to be a leader, a husband, or whatever in this world, and he doesn't have the fruit to verify that he's the righteous man that should have that job, then he's not good. That's just the way the word is written. Same thing goes the other way around for the wives. For if you're a righteous man and you've got one or two, three, four wives, whatever, and that one of them is like Hagar was to Abraham. Abraham said what to Hagar? Bye-bye. Because why? She was causing division in his kingdom. Because the husband is the king of his household. And she was being rebellious and contentious with the other wives. He said, adios, au revoir, avidesane, take off, hit the highway, get out of here. This whole idea that, you know, once you're married to somebody, it's for life. Well, that's if everybody's doing their job. Okay? That's if everybody's holding up their end. How could you run a business if you had employees that were stealing from your cash register? Wouldn't you fire them? How could you run a business if your employees were stealing produce, or they were taking your produce off the shelf and putting some cheap substitute in there so they could take the good stuff with them? Wouldn't you fire them? Of course you would. Well, why would a marriage and a household be any different? If you're the patriarch and they're not obeying, then you get rid of them. But if you're in a situation where the head of the house is not doing his job, then it's your job to consult with the elders and the family. And if they agree that you have a situation that is not conducive to good health, both mental and physical, then you have the biblical right to step out of it. That's just the way it is. All right. I got a few more notes, but we got a caller. We got Lane here as soon as I can get this thing to work. Can you hear me, Lane? Hello? I got a notice that you wanted to say something, Lane. Is that true or not? I guess that's a mistake. Hello? All right, never mind. let's see. Let me get this right here. Remove question. There we go. All right, excuse me. I guess Lane accidentally hit a button or something. So that happens sometimes. Again, we do take calls. If you want to either talk via the computer or your phone, that is certainly why we're here. This is not just my platform. This belongs to all of us as a family. And so if you have a comment or question about anything, this is the platform to present it. It's also a platform for those who have information as to things they're seeing, and I'm going to cover some of those here that I've been made aware of in the last 24 hours. I'm going to cover that in a minute. Okay, we're at that time also that the men of Jacob Israel, meaning the white men, okay, it's time for them to be lions and stop being sheep. Okay, stop being sheep, guys. It's time to be a lion. And only lions have the right to be a patriarch. Okay? Now, when we talk about the patriarchal family, which means that a man may have more than one wife, because that's just the way the Bible talks about it, some people think that we're trying to say every person, every man out there is supposed to have more than one wife. No, that's not what we're saying. Because some men are quite satisfied with and have no desire for more than one wife. And that's fine. Our Heavenly Father condones that as well. He also condones those that would like to be celibate for the rest of their life, which means no female in their life whatsoever. Okay? Our Father condones that as well. It's not for everybody, obviously. But if your calling is to be celibate, so be it. If your calling is to be monogamous, so be it. But if your calling is to be polygamous, there's nothing wrong with that either. In fact, there's a scripture that says at the end of the age, we'd have a situation where seven women would take hold of one man and ask him to take away their reproach. That Bible verse is talking about the fact that there are so few real men left that obviously men are going to have to be willing to take more than one wife into their household. Not necessarily under the same roof, don't get me wrong. Not talking about under the same roof. I'm talking about household. It could be several homes in their vicinity. And I can go into a lot of detail about personal experience with that and relatives of mine that have lived that way. And when I traveled through Missouri, I met many households living that way. So people that say that's an old system that was done away with, I got news for you. It's been around since man's been here, and it's still here. People just don't talk about it. I've met people living this lifestyle all over the United States. And I'm contacted by people all over the world, and they're doing it successfully. Are there some people that are having trouble with it? Sure there are. But you know what? There's a lot of people in monogamous relationships having trouble right now. In fact, I'm hearing from people in relationship issues all the time. Okay, we got another caller. Hold on a second. Curtis, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you
hear
me?
Yep, I can hear you. Go ahead.
I got news about the cryptocurrency.
Okay.
From Washington, D.C., they're going to regulate it. This Janet Yellen is wanting to decentralize and make a crypto illegal in the United States. The feds are going to come after the, should be coming after the owners of crypto. So they should put it in their crypto in their hard wallets as soon as they can. Because if it's on the soft, if it's on the soft exchanges like Binance or Coinbase, they can take it, and the feds want to get personal information from everybody, so you know who, like Mr. Rockwell said in his book White Power, said, well, you know the culprits, the Jews have information to steal from you, so just wanted to get that
right
out.
Yep, that's a good point. By the way, while we're talking about that, I had one of my sons call me that he got an email recently, and it was a report from his phone company telling him everywhere he had been in the past month, how long he was there, everything was recorded. And he did not ask for this. He did not sign up for any app to trace his whereabouts, none of it. All of a sudden he gets this email, and it had literally every single place he had been and how long he had been there, etc. So your phones are being used exactly as we've said for years as a tracking device. Everybody's worried about a chip, but they're not worried about the chip that you're carrying around called your phone. And I told my son, I said, that's why I have a Faraday bag, and I often leave my phone sitting on a desktop. I don't carry it with me all the time. I use it like the old landline, and I just leave it there, and if I'm not around, leave a message, just like we used to do in the old days. And when I travel, I turn the phone off, and I put it in a Faraday bag just so it can't be traced. That way you have it, and you can turn it on if there's an emergency, but in the meantime, it is invisible. No signals in, no signals out. Just my recommendation. You can do what you want, but that's what I do. I've known that they track this thing from day one. That's why I don't ever put it up to my head. I put it on speakerphone when I'm talking so that it can lay 6 feet away from me. And I also put it in a Faraday bag often, or I just leave it set. I go about my business like I did in the old days. I didn't have a phone with me 24 hours a day, and I don't do it now. Okay? People can leave a message or send a text or whatever. You don't have to have that thing on you 24 hours a day, not to mention the fact the electromagnetic radiation coming off of it is not good for you. So anything else, Curtis?
No, I got to add, you know, the trucking industry, you got to have a cell phone. And
right.
Your life is just going to be ruined if you have that cell phone. You're spot on about they're tracking your every move and trying to control who have caused you to go so-called, what's that word, woke? They're trying to enforce woke policies. The more they know about you, the more they can destroy your culture and who you are. So, I mean, I got out of trucking last week. It's no longer just too much tracking. I just can't, the lack of privacy. Everywhere I went to the truck stops, they were knowing everywhere I was going, like your son said, was such a good point. A blessing if you have a son like that, I'd like to add. But you nailed it about this tracking. They are just terrible about tracking, and they're trying to regulate, get inside your mind and destroy your personality, your individualism, your culture. They want to destroy every culture on earth. It's just not our culture, or white Anglo-Saxon culture. They did that in communist China too. They put the intellectuals in the field with the peasants, and the peasants, the intellectuals thought they were going to go woke and become one with the peasants working out in the fields. So the intellectuals became the peasants, and they destroyed every icon and in any type of culture they had. So I think this agenda about they're using the phones is spot on. They want to erase and replace us out of existence. I couldn't agree with you better. But I wanted to add that and put that in the queue. And I'm glad to give out information to the flock, to all the rest of us. I have an idea. Somebody else has an idea. We put our ideas together. We make our people stronger. And,
amen.
Glad to do it. So
yeah, amen.
So it's just for a good purpose.
Absolutely. The scripture says, in the counsel of many, there is victory. That's what this show's all about. In the counsel of many. Every decision I make, I try to get as many opinions from my family, close friends, and believers, followers of Christ that I know. I try to incorporate at least 5 to 7 other people's opinions and their points of view on any kind of a major decision that I make. And it's always helped me, always. Somebody is always looking at some point that I'm not watching or paying attention to. So in the counsel of many. We got another caller here, Curtis.
All right.
Lane, welcome to the program. Lane, are you there? Okay. He did it again then, apparently. You must be hitting a button. Huh?
Remember on our conference call, I had to use the cell phone. No matter what I did, I couldn't use the computer. I couldn't talk to the computer, but I talked through the computer and the cell phone. So sometimes something about the computer just doesn't have a pathway somehow to it. But it happens. Maybe if Lane is watching, listening, trying to reach us, that maybe he could try the cell phone.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. I'm having trouble with some of the programs on my computer here lately too, especially videos. As far as the sound is not working. So a lot of strange things going on. I don't know if it's just glitches because the software can have glitches in it. It's not always the boogeyman out there trying to cause us trouble. I know that. Sometimes it's just technology and our devices and all. They have hiccups. One thing that a lot of people forget about, including myself, every now and then it's good to turn your phone off and then back on, because when you do that, it's just like a computer. It reboots, updates software, realigns itself. So if your phone is doing goofy things, it might be that you need to turn it off and turn it back on. The same thing with the computer. If you haven't rebooted your computer in a while, go back into your settings and your power button or whatever, where it says to restart, and just do a restart of your computer every now and then and get everything back in alignment. So if either your phone or your computers are acting strange and weird, that's one thing you can do and see if it doesn't fix the problem.
You know, I'd like to add I updated my drivers. I went to the update section, the security and update section, to find out if there's any updates for the drivers, and I updated the drivers inside of it. Even though these newer computers have updated drivers, you can still go back to the days of Windows 95 when you had to update the drivers manually. So there is a place in the computer you can update the drivers, but I might be getting a bit too forward in the information on that, but I think that might help the guys out here.
Right. Sometimes outdated drivers can be a problem. That's right. So, okay. Excellent. Anything else, Curtis?
No more. I'll just give some other people. I hope that we all just share information and help each other out. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. That's what we're here for. Thanks for calling in. All right. Again, that's Curtis out there in West Texas, and we're glad he called in. Henry says here that he noticed that Lane has no microphone next to his name. That means that if you're using your computer, you're not tied into the built-in mic. If you've got a headset, it's not recognizing the mic. So if your name is on the list of attendees to the call and there is no microphone showing, that's what that's telling you. It's not working. It's not connected. So you need to check it. Because it's not going to work. In other words, the computer has to have some way to pick up your voice and for you to hear. So it's either through a headset with a mic or through the built-in mic and speakers of your computer, one or the other. Okay, now, other information that I've gotten recently is that the CDC is setting up what they're calling green zones. You ever notice how communists always try to pick an innocuous name for their chicanery and their nefarious deeds? Green zones, they're basically internment camps, concentration camps. You can see them already setting the stage where we who are smart enough to know not to put this poison in our body, that we are somehow the problem. Okay? They're doing it. It's in your face right now. Now, is it true? Of course it's not true. But when did that ever stop communists? Okay? Communists, that's why the news media, which is completely run by communists, they put stuff out as if it's fact when it's a complete lie. I don't know anybody with a brain that would watch mainstream anything anymore. Mainstream religion, mainstream media or news, mainstream programming. It's all predictive programming and propaganda, every bit of it. Now, let me verify this with a personal story. I talked to a lady that's part of my family, and she is a senior nurse, and she is a supervisor. She works at a hospital where there are three campuses, meaning three locations. So this hospital services a lot of people. And part of her duties is to go over the data that's coming in about everything, including this misnamed COVID, which does not exist. There is no such thing as a COVID problem. It's the flu. They're just calling it something different, but that's all it is, the flu. There is no pandemic, never has been. So she watches the data coming in, and she's noting that in the area where these three campuses are, they're showing almost no activity, even though the media is trying to get everybody all scared about a Delta variant and everything else. She's showing in the data that they're not seeing any kind of an increase at all. And yet the local media said the county where she lives is a, quote, hot spot. So right there is firsthand testimony that the media lies and has been lying from day one. Every one of these government people, medical people, and news media people that is pushing this fake, phony pandemic should be arrested and put on trial for murder, treason, and lying to the public. Now, your government assholes are going to tell you that, oh, no, it's not illegal. We passed a law that says it's okay to lie to the public. I got news for you. God's law applies. And when you're in a position of authority or responsibility to the public, you have a moral obligation to tell the truth. If you are lying, you are held accountable for the results of that lie. Now, another personal testimony along those lines, I had a grandson who just spent 9 days in jail based on a false accusation by a girlfriend. So guys, pay attention. You know, when I was a young man, they used to have a saying, you don't sleep with crazy. So my grandson, even though he had witnesses who testified that everything this female said was a lie, he had 9 days of his life taken away. He has to spend $1,500 to try to get a lawyer to represent him and get this taken care of. All the charges have been dropped except one. But the point of it is it cost him 9 days. It could have cost him his job, except that his employer likes him so much that he is not going to fire him. But 9 days is not custody. 9 days is a sentence. 9 days is kidnapping. Based on what? A testimony of a female who lied. When is that female going to be charged with perjury? When is the judge who signed the warrant going to be charged for dereliction of duty? When is the police commander and the police officer that arrested my grandson going to be charged with dereliction of duty? Okay, you want to know why we have chaos and no justice? Is because we're not holding our public officials accountable for dereliction of duty, malpractice, and perjury. If we were doing things the biblical way, these people would be put on trial, and when they're found guilty of lying under oath, what does the Bible say you do with these people? You give them the punishment that would have went to the defendant, the accused. So in the case of a murder trial, where let's say false accusations of murder are up there and a police officer takes the stand and his lies would have brought a guilty verdict. When that police officer is found to have lied, he is to be executed. When the prosecutor obfuscates exculpatory evidence, meaning evidence that would have found you not guilty, when that prosecutor is found to have committed this crime, he is to be taken outside and executed. A judge who hides evidence or sways a decision based on a lie and causes an innocent person to be harmed, he is to be charged with murder and to be executed. That's the biblical law. Now, if we had that kind of law, do you think we'd have so much of this treason and crony things going on in our court system? No, you wouldn't. And by the way, since this female lied about my grandson and caused this trouble, what does the Bible say about women or men who lie about rape? Well, in the Bible, rape requires the death penalty. That makes it a capital crime. What does it say about those who perjure themselves during a capital case, meaning that you took the witness stand and you swore to tell the truth, but you lied? The Bible says that the person that did that is to be taken outside and executed. Because if the other person had been found guilty, they would have been executed. So their lies would have committed murder. Do you see how simple it is, ladies and gentlemen? It's not hard to figure out how to make the world a better place. Like it says in that one quote I read all the time, if you want to change the world, don't try to destroy the existing model. Let's create a new model that makes the old model obsolete. What's the old model? Jewish created Talmudic communist socialist system, which we live under right now, which is complete chaos because God's law is not part of it at all. So what's the better model? What's the new model we can create that makes this old model obsolete? The new model is to live under the laws of the Almighty and to scrap all of the man-made law. All of the man-made corporations disappear. No more centralized anything. Everything goes back to local government where it was supposed to be all along. Even in the days of the Israelites and the laws of Moses, even though Moses was at the top of the chain for resolution of problems, all government started at the local level. It never went to the next level unless they could not come to an agreement. As long as they came to an agreement, nobody in the levels above them had any business being at the local level. There again, why we have a sheriff. Let me give a little story to go along with that. I had a friend of mine that I worked with, and he was in trouble with the IRS. This was back in the 1980s. And his wife had called him and said the IRS came to the door, and they were starting to question her and intimidate her, etc. And he had already coached her as to how to handle this situation. So when they started being belligerent, she looked at him and said, by the way, have you men been through the sheriff's office yet? You see, nobody from the state or the federal government has a right to come to your door without talking to the sheriff first. The sheriff is our first line of defense against tyranny. As soon as the IRS agents heard her say that, they shut up. They walked away, got in their car, and they never saw him again. Okay? The sheriff is our first line of defense. The second line of defense behind the sheriff is the local militia. And who were the leaders of the militia when we were colonies before we became known as the United States? We were individual colonies, and who were the leaders of the militia? The local pastors. The local pastors were the leaders of the militia. And many times the militia met at the local church. And many times their extra musket rifles and pistols and black powder and musket balls were kept in the basement of the church. In fact, when the British were coming to Lexington to confiscate the armaments in the church, that's when the men with the pastor met them in the lawn called Lexington Green, and that was the shot heard round the world that started the American Revolution. Approximately 70 men from the church said, "You're not coming here to take our weapons." They stood their ground, and the preacher was the leader. We don't have preachers like that anymore, do we? So right there within my own family, I've got a couple cases that have proved the things that we're talking about. We've got a nurse in a major hospital who has verified that they're lying in the media. There is no pandemic, and there never has been. My grandson is proof that we've got people lying and turning people in to cause trouble, and they're doing it because there's no accountability for lying anymore. You've got public officials, government officials lying day in and day out. You've got medical mafia people like Fauci and Birx lying day in and day out. If you don't live by God's law, you live under chaos. Now, another personal story. I have another son who is a worker for a major carrier, and he works out of Philadelphia, and he was delivering to hospitals, and he verified himself that when he traveled to the major hospitals in this major city, they were empty. There is no sign of a pandemic anywhere. And while he was visiting one of these places, he had a black man run up to him, and he said, "I need to talk to you." And my son knows him and has known him in that hospital for quite some time. He's worked there for like 20 years. And he said, "I need to talk to you." And they ended up chatting for a while. And he said, "I want your opinion on this whole vaccination and pandemic thing. What's your take on it?" And so my son told him what he knew. And he thanked him, and he said, "I thought so." He said, "I'm having a lot of trouble in my family and with some of my coworkers and all." He goes, "But I knew something wasn't right." So he thanked him and took the information, and he went on his way. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, you are living Bibles. You are living truth in this world of lies and deception that we live in. And we were told about that, in the scriptures. At the end of the age, there would be a famine for truth. What does that mean? A famine, okay? Famine means usually absence of food. But you can have a famine on a lot of things. A famine means a severe shortage. And so when the scripture says a famine for truth in the latter days, it means that you're living in an ocean of lies and deception, and we certainly are. Okay? Lies and deception are the order of the day in the United States and virtually around the world, but particularly here in the United States, because our people are the most propagandized people on earth. Well, we could probably throw the Canadians in there too. So here in the United States and Canada, it's propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Curtis, I noticed your mic went hot again. Did you have something else you wanted to say, or you're just listening?
I'd like to also add, I think that part of it is they want to feminize society, make us hysterical and paranoid of everything. They want to create a sense of chaos. I equate that to feminization, that we're a bunch of cackling women. And that's we are just a bunch of cackling, paranoid women. They'll just keep doing it until we're paranoid. So I'm going to keep my head and just stay clear and not worry. I'm not going to let them scare me or worry me. I just want to add.
Okay, very good. Good point. Thanks a lot. Yahweh bless. Yep, good point. Fear, remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. That's what F-E-A-R stands for. False evidence appearing real. We've been driven like cattle by the mainstream media and the governments and the church world for a long time. Driven by fear. Fear of hell. Fear of sin. Fear of wars, fear of boogeymen, fear of invasion, fear of alien invasion, fear of asteroids, fear of comets, fear of viruses or other unseen ailments. All of it is a lie, ladies and gentlemen. You're being driven by fear. You're being driven away from reality. You need to come back to reality. And we got another caller here. Hold on a minute. If I can get this software to work. Come on. Okay, Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Hi. You covered a lot today. I wanted to start with, like, okay, on your phone thing, what about using airplane mode? I usually put it on airplane mode when I'm going on a long trip and just put on my music. Do you think that that blocks out the tracking?
No.
No? Because
no,
it doesn't?
No, it will shut off the ability of the phone to receive or send out voice or text.
Yeah.
But that does not mean that the parts of the phone that are never shut off, that are tracking your GPS location, even while you're not in regular mode, that does not shut that off. As long as the cell tower signals are hitting your phone, they can track you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's why we say you got to put it, if you don't want them to do that, you have to put it in a Faraday bag.
Okay, I'll definitely invest in one of those. But in the meantime, I never put on my location unless I have to find a place and then I turn on the location on my phone, but it's usually always off.
Yeah, my son had location turned off too, and yet he still got a report telling him everywhere he had been.
Okay.
And, so these applications that say that we can turn things on and off, that's just to make you feel good.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So a Faraday cage. Okay. So there were a few other things that I wanted to ask. Did I forward you the thing from Cliff High yesterday?
I believe so. I just haven't had time to look at it yet.
Okay. Well, his remarks on what's going on in the next few weeks with the Biden administration were that they're going to be just hitting us with all kinds of media misinformation just to get people paranoid because they're so freaked out that they're not getting the percentage of people to get the vax. And so they're really, you know, they're going to ramp up the incentives and, you know, try to get people that way, and that they're going to do some kind of a thing where it's showing that the National Guard's going to come out and possibly, you know, go to a few areas to try to, you know, push it almost like what they were doing back in the day with the nose jab. You know, down in Texas, I think they were there, you know, helping out with that. So they're going to do a mass media blitz to try to get more people on board. And, of course, you know, most people will run the other way. And then I'm trying to think. There were a few things that he mentioned, but it was pretty well done. And then he said something. I don't know. You'll have to listen to it. I couldn't make any sense out of the fact that he was saying that all the areas where there's a lot of homeless people, he goes, as you may well know, there's no pandemic, because if there was, all these homeless people would be dead by now, you know, because they're the most at risk. But he said a lot of them were going to start hitting the streets, and it sounded like with Antifa. So he even mentioned, I think, Austin, Texas. liberal areas, starting on I-10, no, not I-10, Highway 5, starting from Seattle down to L.A. and then cutting over and going into Texas, that the homeless people were going to get involved with something. And then on another hand, something came out with Black Lives Matter. I don't know if I sent those pictures to you. Now they're putting these things about the people are not able to buy food. The blacks are not able to buy food, and that it's racist to keep them out of the stores. And it's sponsored by Black Lives Matter. I mean, this stuff is just getting unbelievable. So I sent that to some of my Hispanic friends, and they couldn't believe it. I said, this is part of the thing here, you know. If you look at Klaus Schwab and the 300 Club or whatever, it says they're going after the whites first and then everybody else to follow. And so Hispanics are primarily white, but some have, you know, mestizo because of the coming up from Mexico. But a lot of our northern New Mexicans are white, Hispanics are white. But they will be going after us first, you know, for this vaccine. And so to me, it's just another way of signaling to us that, you know, they're going to favor the blacks, you know, and try to push for allowing them in the stores, but not us. So, so Biden administration is going to be picking up heavy-duty media campaigns because they're losing the narrative thanks to people like you.
Well, it's not my plan. It's the Father's plan. So the Father's plan was the prophets told us that he laughs at the machinations of men, and he is going to take their plan to put on our heads and turn it around and put it on them only double. So when our people finally awaken, there is going to be a fire. That's what the scripture says in Obadiah and other places, that Jacob Israel, the white race, is going to become a flame and a fire, and it's going to burn till these people are exterminated. Now, again, not my words. The prophet Obadiah and the prophet Ezekiel said, both of them said that. At some point, our people awaken, and when they realize what these pieces of shit have done to our children, our countries, and our world, we will hunt them down like animals and exterminate them. That's what they're afraid of. I just read a report that Trump is building a castle, a mansion, in the Dominican Republic. Now, why do you think he would want to run off to the Dominican Republic? Because these people see the day is coming when we realize that we've been played for fools. How many of our loved ones have died, committed suicide, lost jobs, lost businesses, and our children have been murdered, raped, and eaten by these monsters? We will hunt them down and hang them.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, getting back to the Cliff High, one thing he did kind of allude to, you know, who the people were towards the end of the, I think I, when I sent it out on Messenger, I put what minutes, you know, he said a certain group of white, so-called white people, you know, but his thing for what's going on, he said, just watch this media blitz roll out. Don't react. Don't hit the streets. I mean, in New Mexico, they're all because of there's also the, you know, the thing going on with the election fraud. So a lot of the New Mexicans have set up stuff every weekend, I think all the way until September something, like 30th or something, where they're going to meet in different counties on the election fraud. And so, I mean, they're coming here on September 11th to my county. I said, is there a better time to do it? Or maybe I'll open my big mouth on who did September 11th. I mean, I've said that already. I told them, watch out. This is a group. You know, I told this one guy that runs New Mexico Rising Facebook page, it's these people. These are the ones. I've sent them a lot of links. But anyway, so, I mean, when he says, when Cliff High says, just stay and observe this rollout and don't panic, do you think that it's better to hit the streets like they're doing in London and all those other places? Because another friend of mine who follows you said they'll probably use crowd control on us.
That's a gut feeling. That's a gut feeling that every person has to come to on their own. If they feel led that that's something they should do, then they should do it. I mean, don't operate in the zone of fear. You operate in the zone of your own personal faith and what you think is a logical thing to do. Now, I'm not going to go out there and do that because my job is to awaken the people. That's my job. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to awaken the people. Then when we reach the critical mass and Yahweh gives us the green light, then we're going to hit the streets and things are going to happen. But until then, the job is to educate and awaken the people to the truth of both our Heavenly Father and His kingdom and what these sons of bitches are doing in our world. To me, that's a more important thing right now because, as they said, you know, in the days of the colonies, it was the work of Thomas Paine and others like him who wrote the parchments and the booklets that awakened the people first before George Washington raised the sword and the militia and the colonial army went after the British and I think French at one point. That didn't happen until after almost 100 years of leaflets, pamphlets, and booklets being put out preaching liberty and awareness that we were living under a tyranny and the king was not redressing our grievances. Well, that's where we are today. And now we've reached the point where they're actually murdering us and they're attempting mass murder and to prevent our ladies from being able to have babies. So it's genocide. These people are committing genocide. Okay? That is equivalent to an invasion by an enemy army and murder. So we have a right to defend ourselves. So at some point, we will be in the street. It's just a matter of people have to make up their mind on a personal level.
Well, here in this county, we're really fragmented in the town that I live in. I mean, it's just, I think the other, like Angel Fire and Eagle's Nest, they're almost all white over there. So it's probably easier to organize. But where I'm at, it's crazy. In fact, the school that I'm going to supposedly work at in 3 hours of the of an English program, the English high school English, the superintendent, everybody that runs the school pretty much is white. And the kids are probably 50 to 70% Hispanic here. But I'm going to bring Chuck Baldwin's book, The Freedom Documents, with me and have her look it over when I go meet her tomorrow, the superintendent, and say, you know, there's things that they can use in the classroom, you know, out of his book, like reading from Abigail and John Adams letters. I've done that in another middle school history. And there's other things in there that they can use. And I think it would be good if she lets me, you know, bring it in. I don't know yet. Right. So, but I don't think it's going to last very long because they're going to probably shut them down within a few weeks. You know, well, we're probably all going to be back on online learning at some point. So,
the school systems in general are a waste of time.
Right.
It's just like television, okay? If you've got people that watch a lot of television, don't even bother trying to wake them up. waste of your time.
I know. I wanted to do something with homeschooling, but right, this area is too fragmented, and these people are too lazy to seek something like that out. And I was going to send my resume to Pam Popper. I sent that resume to you. It's just like all over the place, but I can't get on my computer and fix it. I do everything on my phone, so it's a mess. So we'll see if I can figure something else out to do. But.
Yeah, just a word to the wise. Pam Popper is an Edomite.
I know.
Just so you know.
I know. So.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's other people to go with.
Oh, there is. And you know, I'm not saying she's not doing a good thing in trying to expose the liars and cheaters, but you just have to know that's who you're dealing with.
Right. I at first I was like going, God, she looks like one a while back ago. But then when she had a Christmas tree and her cat and this and that, and I was like, well, I was raised in a Jewish family, and they put up a white Christmas tree with blue balls. You know, one year they did that, but that was it. You know, we didn't, well, it's a pagan holiday anyway, but yeah, I said, oh, maybe she's not Jewish, but in
no,
the meantime,
she is.
But Thomas Rentz, who's fighting for us, you know, he's pretty, well, he's Catholic, but he's pretty on the ball. I listened to another thing with him yesterday on X-22 report. It was pretty good. He's getting out there. But then I was thinking of sending something to Alex Newman. For a while, I've been in contact with him to do some, you know, tutoring or something online. So, you know, his you know, Alex Newman, right?
Yeah.
America, I don't remember the name of his program, but yeah, he's got some good homeschooling network stuff going on too. But all right, well, if you hear of anything other than Pam Popper, let me.
Well,
know.
Peggy Hall.
Oh yeah, yeah. Peggy's got a training program too. Right, right. Yeah, I do follow her and all the things that she has, how to say no, and all these other things.
Right.
So.
Okay. Well, very good.
All right. Well, thank
Yahweh
you.
Bless.
And
yep.
You too. We'll see you on Wednesday then, if you're coming back.
Okay. Yahweh willing.
All right. Okay. God bless. Bye. Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Lane, if you still want to chat, call back in if you would, please. I guess maybe he had to go. I can see now. I'm looking at my clock. Holy cow, time goes fast. And we did cover a lot of material. One more quick thing before I let you go. These are personal, very, very personal testimonies I'm giving to you, because these are applicable to two of my sons. I have two sons. One is in imminent danger of losing his job. He just got a promotion, and it's a new job. He loves it, but they're pushing that he has to be jabbed. And if he doesn't get jabbed, he has to go through weekly testing, which we all know the testing is a lie, and it's dangerous. So he will walk away from that job, possibly within a month, and there is a strong possibility he may come to stay with me. So my one son is in imminent danger of losing that job, and he'll be on his own. And my other son is also very much on the edge of losing a job all over this COVID insanity. So two of my sons are challenging him and refusing to wear a dirty diaper and put this experimental serum poison in their bodies. And the corporate America, and remember, corporations are part of communism. And this is why the Jews pushed for corporations. Okay. That's not a Christian thing. Okay. Nobody should be allowed to have limited liability. Just like the the drug producers, who are all Jewish owned, have no liability. Your Congress traitors actually generated a law that says that you can't sue them for the damage they do with their drugs. How is that even possible? Well, in a Christian land, a land where people love the Father and his law, that's not possible. So corporations need to be disbanded, and the chief executive officer and the board of directors of every corporation should be hauled into jail and put on trial for everything their corporation has done. So the corporation going to cause my son to lose his job, pushing a experimental drug on him, everybody in that corporation's ownership should be put on trial for practicing medicine without a license and for attempted homicide, attempted murder. Okay? Every company doing this should be on trial for attempted murder. And that includes the chief financial officer, the chief executive officer, and the board of directors of every corporation should be arrested and put on trial for attempted murder, as well as lying to the public, misrepresentation, fraud. Okay? We've got them on a lot of things. We just have to have the people who wish to say no more. That's all it takes. We, the people, saying, rather than man's law, I'm going to obey my heavenly Father's law. What did Peter tell us in Scripture? If it's a choice between God's law and man's law, you must choose. It doesn't say, oh, it's a suggestion. It says in Scripture, you must choose God's law. Now, if you don't believe that, then burn your Bible and stop pretending to be a believer. Okay? Stop it. Stop pretending that the Christ, Yahshua, means anything to you. Stop pretending that Yahweh the Father means something to you. If you don't believe that, if you think men or a group of people have the right to create a document that causes you to violate God's law, and you think that has more power than the Almighty, then you are a blasphemer. You are a liar. You are a criminal, and you don't deserve entrance into his kingdom, period. Do you understand that? We're going to close with reading Psalm 149 because that's a short one, but it's very appropriate for what's going on today, and then I'm going to let you go, unless we have another caller. If Lane calls back in, because I didn't get to him quick enough, so I'm sorry. I apologize to Lane for that. Psalm 149, and we're going to read it from the World English Bible. Praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Who are the saints? His ecclesia in the Greek, which is the called out ones. Has nothing to do with attendance at a building called a church. Let Jacob Israel, meaning our people, the Israelites, rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name, Yahweh, in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. You better learn what that word humble means, people. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Elohim God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword in their hand. So praising the Father is one of your duties, but you're also supposed to have a weapon. Whatever the weapon of the day is, you're supposed to have that in your hand. Now, verse 7, why do you have this weapon in your hand? to execute vengeance on the nations or the other non-Israelite people and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, meaning prime ministers, presidents, and their nobles, meaning like chancellors, counselors, what else do they call them? Parliamentarians, whatever. So their kings, which is the top of the food chain in the governments of men. So you bind their kings with chains. Their nobles, meaning people like Donald Trumps, the billionaires, the nobles, the people that have been given a nod by these shysters and criminals in government and out of government, corporate heads, etc., CEOs, their nobles with fetters of iron, fetters are like shackles, to execute on them the written judgment. What's the written judgment? God's law. We've been talking about that. All his saints have this honor. Praise Yah, or Hallelujah in Hebrew. So right there, all of us saints have the honor to execute the written judgment upon these governments, these mega church leaders like the Roman Catholic and all of these Protestant denominations at the top levels, and all of the nobles, those who are drunk on the adultery and the fornication of the harlot, as Revelation calls it. All of these people who are drunk, they're walking around like drunks with all the free money and easy credit. And if you get the jab, we'll give you a break. Okay? It's the mark of the beast. You're living it, folks. You're in it. You're submerged in it. You're in a cesspool of lies and deceptions right now. You're in it. Hallelujah. This is the end of the age. That means the kingdom age is right around the corner. That means a lot of these zombies will be dead soon. That means that he's going to throw these false prophets and these worshipers of Satan into the lake of fire, which means permanent judgment, death. And then what's left? You and me, ladies and gentlemen. Is that a beautiful world? Yeah, it is. Because we don't want to harm anybody. We want justice. We want truth. We want peace. We want prosperity for every single person who walks the earth, if they're in obedience to the Father. If they're not, then they can go to hell. So can you imagine a world where every single person in it is a true follower of God's law? Every person in it wants to live at peace with his neighbor. Every person in it wants the guilty to be punished and the innocent to be protected. Every person in it respects the earth and would not do harm to it. And that includes the animals, the vegetation, the trees, everything. The skies, the waterways. Keep them pure. You're allowed to use them. You're not allowed to abuse them. Can you imagine such a world? I can. Or have you lost the vision, ladies and gentlemen, as the proverb says, my people suffer from a lack of truth or knowledge. That's true. But there's also a proverb that says, my people suffer for a lack of vision. You don't have the vision anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You're believing your televisions. You're believing your lying false prophets called TV personalities and celebrities, government officials, healthcare people, church people. They're all lying to you, creating a false paradigm when reality is right in your face. Yahweh lives within you. He speaks to you if you're paying attention. You don't need a Bible. We don't need to agree on the Bible. If you don't have the voice of the Father talking to you, you're lost already. I'm sorry, but you are. if you're looking to man to solve your problems when you're walking with the Creator's spirit within you, why don't you take some quiet time and go lay on your bed or go to a closet or go to some small room in the house and shut the goddamn world out and listen to what the Father has to say. And tell yourself whether or not what you're hearing is true or not. The Scripture says that the Spirit testifies to the truth. It doesn't say go look it up in the Bible. It says the Spirit testifies to the truth. Exactly like the first time I heard Anthony Fauci speak, the Spirit told me he was a liar, a cheat, a fraud, and a criminal. The very first time I heard him, I knew he was lying. The first time I saw Birx, the female version of Fauci, I knew she was lying. The first time I heard Bill Clinton open that yap of his, liar, deceiver. Hillary, same thing, liar, deceiver. George Bush, liar, deceiver. Billy Graham, liar, deceiver. Robert Shuler, liar, deceiver. Kenneth Copeland, liar, deceiver. Many of the televangelists, liars and deceivers. But you have a choice to make, because you're going to be accountable for your decisions to the Almighty, not to these liars and deceivers and not to me. You yourself will be held accountable. So you better do some serious thinking, because we are at the end of the age. It's here. It's now. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. You have to make a choice. Is Yahweh your king or not? It is simple as that. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters around this world. We pray that your truths and your word and your plan would reach the ears of those who are meant to hear it. We pray that there would be a quickening of their spirit, that they know that they're being used and lied to and abused, that they would reach out to you, Father, because you are the source of truth and justice in this world. And when we live in righteousness according to your law, then true peace and prosperity will come to this earth. And it will never be through corporations, mass media, and propagandists. These are all tools of the devil, the workers of the Judaic, Talmudic, communist, one world order. They are the workers of iniquity. They're being exposed. We pray for the day that you lift them up, bind them up, and cast them into the lake of fire. Father Yahweh, make that be soon, that we might see peace and prosperity and the kingdom age come in to pass. And for those that decide to go the way of the wicked, good riddance to them, whether there be relatives, friends, neighbors, whatever. If their choice is to go against you, Father Yahweh, then may they burn in hell. Even though I don't believe hell as we are told it exists, the expression still applies. Basically, may they be gotten rid of by whatever means that you see fit. Get them the hell out of here, because they are nothing but trouble. They're too lazy, they're too ignorant, they're too full of themselves, they're too prideful, they're liars and deceivers, gossipers, and sheep, which have no part in the kingdom. Be with those who love you, Father. Watch over them. Help them with any kind of calamity in their life. Help them to resolve issues. Help them get over personal and medical issues. For those who are suffering and those who are anxious, give them comfort. May your Holy Spirit dwell upon them, wash over them, and let them have a feeling of peace that they are walking with you. Also, these people, Father, we ask a hedge of protection, a soldier's ransom, so to speak. May it be placed upon all of the warriors, male and female alike, who are working for truth and justice to expose this criminal cabal that is trying to ruin and rule this world. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.